translation, you are the father of all living entities and the source of their substance, because they are born of you. Please order us how we may be able to render service unto you. Let's try that responsively. Translation. You are the father of all living entities and the source of their substance, because they are born of you. Because they are all born of you. Please order us how we may be able to render service unto you. Purport. A son's duty is not only to make the father the source of supply for all his needs, but also, when he is grown up, to render service unto him. That is the law of creation, beginning from the time of Brahma. A father's duty is to bring up the son until he is grown. And when the son is grown up, it is the duty to render service unto the father. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchako Patrupyasya Kripa Sindhu Pya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Feeling very unqualified to be sitting here, so please excuse any mistakes I might make, but also please bless me that I may speak something from the Srimad Bhagavatam amongst so many senior devotees. It's my great good fortune to be with you all this morning. And here we see Lord Brahma, his son Swayambhuva Manu. Brahma has finally got a son who is ready to obey. Father likes it when the son obeys. Most sons are quite rebellious these days, especially in this kind of modern culture. It's very trendy to just do your own thing and not accept responsibility. But we see here previously the four Kumaras, they became transcendentalists. They didn't want to engage with the material creation. This is what we're discussing, the creation of the universe here. Manu being the first of mankind, appearing from the body of Lord Brahma. So the four Kumaras, they don't even grow up. They just remain young brahmacharis and leave. Then he becomes upset. The father gets angry and Rudra, Lord Shiva, appears from his forehead or this area of the forehead. And Lord Shiva then has sons, the Rudras, but they are a little aggressive. And they attack their granddad, actually, it's mentioned. So there was progeny, but it was not of the exact type. That's why Lord Shiva is the destroyer. He destroys the universe. This is the creation. So Lord Brahma wasn't too happy about that. But here we see Swayambhuva Manu. He is, please order us how we may be able to render service unto you. This understanding of service to the Father. Yeah. Here in England, we have in the Christian church, Our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as on earth as in heaven, etc. There's a whole famous prayer here, right, in England. We all know, I researched it last night, the first time I got into it. So the Father, he's providing the substance. So the son thinks he can act independently. The child thinks, I have a nice home, I have the car, I have a rich father, I have everything I need. And he becomes a little flippant, becomes a little arrogant. And this really hurts the heart of a parent, actually, the father. It really breaks the heart of parents to see their children suffering and there's nothing they can do to alleviate the suffering of their child, of their children. It's even more heartbreaking for the father or the parents to see a child die. It's one of the most difficult things. We've all experienced relatives depart, people we love depart this world. But for a parent to see their child die, it's like the most difficult thing. This was explained in many books in the war, Second World War, previous wars in America and other places in the world, how parents, their children would not come home. They would be taken by the army, and that was it. Maybe some letter, some postcard, some letter from the government. But Krishna is our eternal father, and how painful it is for Krishna to see us turn away and go rogue. When the children go rogue, it's really difficult for the parents, especially the father. But when it's the opposite, when the children fall in line and they, okay, father, let's do this. Instruct me, engage me in render service unto you. Then this gives so much heartfelt happiness and joy. And it creates lots of progeny. It creates dynasties, as we'll see later on in the Bhagavatam. And it also creates this wonderful, loving reciprocation, like a guru and a disciple. So the father or the spiritual master gives the order, and we execute to the best of our ability. What's that sloka? I think it's 10, canto 10, 50, 45. You know that one, Adi? See if you can look it up, Govinda, please. 45. Chapter, the point, the order of the guru. Oh no, that's the sons. That's the son of. Okay, wait. There's the. I wrote it down. Oh, now that's in the first canto. That's sloka. Oh no, that's there's another sloka you quoted to me, Adi, about don't become a father, don't become a guru. Fifth canto. Let's hear it. Do you remember it? Don't become a father. Don't become a guru. Don't become a teacher. Don't become a friend. Don't become a relative. If you cannot deliver your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. Yeah. So we have to fall in line. And there's the parampara. We have Srila Prabhupada's books, his teachings. And what's going on? Haribol? Okay. Feedback. So the son is also considered the deliverer of the father. The word pita here is mentioned in Sanskrit, the father. As children here in the Gurukul, we grew up at Bhaktivedanta Manor. We were always told to address our father as pita and mata, and even encouraged to bow down and take blessings from our parents in the morning. This is also exemplified later in the Krishna book when Lord Krishna and Balaram meet Devaki and Vasudev. They pay their respects. There's God paying his respects to his parents. And this is to create this very harmonious flow of reciprocation, loving reciprocation. And the son, the name Putra, in Sanskrit, Putra, Tra, like mantra, instead of Putra, you put the mantra, to deliver. So sometimes the father also needs delivering. And the father can also have challenges and difficulties on his spiritual journey. And the son is then considered to be the one who inherits spiritual merit as well as the karmic debt the father leaves. And the son has to do certain things to alleviate the father's suffering condition. Recently we had this Pitri Paksh thing that was happening for 2 weeks from the new moon, from the full moon to the new moon in September once a year. We offer prasadam to the previously deceased ancestors. We're not into ancestor worship. That's a big thing in Asia. In China, I've seen it, and other places. It's huge, actually. It's not our path, but we do offer some respect and give some prasadam to the previous ancestors. So the son has to do certain ceremonies because it's considered the father may be in a fallen condition state. And that fallen condition state can only be alleviated by the son becoming very pious, if not more, even better, a devotee of Vishnu, and a surrendered devotee of Vishnu. And then he can alleviate the father's suffering. So yeah, I was zooming in on the pain and the suffering that parents experience. So in a similar way, Sandipani Muni, Krishna and Balaram go to study with him. And then they have to give Guru Dakshina at the end of their course of studying 64 items of the Vedic knowledge, And he asks them to please retrieve his son who had drowned in Prabhash. It's very common in India. I've seen it a lot. People don't know how to swim, or you're on the ocean side and a big wave comes and sucks you into the ocean and you're gone. Seen it right in front of me. Before you try and rescue someone, the oceans consume them. So Varuna Dev took his son, and Krishna and Balaram go to the abode of Varuna Dev. After they engage with Panchajanya, the demon, what's his name? Panchajana. And there's a conch shell that they take from him. He's living in the conch shell or something, his palace. So they retrieve the conch shell. Varuna Dev says, the son's not with me. He's in Yamaloka, right? Something like that. So then they go to Yamaloka and retrieve the son and bring him back to life and bring him to the guru. And so much pain and alleviation is there for the parents to see their son brought by Krishna and Balaram. There is some more detailed description. If you have time, you can look it up. In Vrindavan, they're discussing in the Bhagavatam class about Devaki's six sons. So Krishna and Balaram are there in Kurukshetra, and Devaki hears that the Lord has given the son of the guru. And she says, well, what about your brothers? What about the six sons? To bring them to me. And of course, we know from previously, just a few chapters ago, that Brahma's grandsons, Marichi's sons, his son Marichi, they were laughing at him when he had a brief moment of, weakness, chasing after the deer, Vak, in the form of the deer, his daughter. So they got cursed because of that. And they ended up becoming actually the sons of Hiranyakashipu. It's described. That's what's being discussed a few days ago in Vrindavan. And as the sons of Hiranyakashipu, they override the father's authority again. And they try to perpetuate Brahma to get the similar blessings that their father has. And the father just curses them. Hiranyakashipu says, okay, if you want to try and be like me, well, then you have to take birth and be killed. It's a pretty intense curse, but he curses them. And then they take birth one after another as the uncle Kamsa kills them as the children of Devaki. So this Vatsalya Bhava is there manifesting in Devaki, and she wants her six sons back. So Krishna goes to the abode of Bali Maharaj and retrieves them. Actually, Bali Maharaj is very happy to see the Lord, to receive him, and gives back the six sons. So then we have another incident here in the Krishna book where Nanda Maharaj is also captured by Varuna. And the son again has to, release the father from some kind of situation there with Varuna Dev. Also, there's a story in the Krishna book where a snake eats Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna Balaram and the coward boys come and beat the snake with the flaming torches to release Nanda Maharaj. So the father and the son have this interesting relationship of reciprocation, loving reciprocation. And our father Krishna, he wants us back. He wants us back home, back to his abode, to serve, render service to the father. So this mentality of disobedience is so prevalent in young men nowadays, to just... there was a rock band, Rage Against the Machine, to rage against authority, rage against the authority of the father. Okay, we can do that if the father's off. That we see with Shukracharya. Yes, Shukracharya was directing the disciple away from Lord Vishnu as Vamanadeva. And if the guru is off, if the spiritual master is behaving like Shukracharya, we can disregard that. We don't have to follow that authority. We do, though, have to obey and follow the authority of those who are in line with our parampara and our sampradaya as Lord Brahma. And we see in the first canto, Sukadeva Goswami, as soon as he appeared in the hermitage of Vyasadeva, he didn't want to engage with, similar to the four Kumaras, he didn't want to engage with anything in this world. He disappeared. And Vyasadeva goes after him, chases after him, and he calls out to him, "Oh my son, oh my son." And all he hears is the echo back in the woods, in the forest. It's very painful for the father. Vyasadeva is kind of heartbroken. Huh? Imagine that your son just takes off. Doesn't even say a word to you. No reason why, no discussion. He's just gone. No communication. And you chase after him and he just blanks you, ignores you. It's a bit painful. So Vyasadeva sends his disciples to the forest to go search for him. And he's still not responding. But what's the sloka Govinda Prabhu? Translation? Summary? And this captivated the son's attention of how merciful the Lord is, that even this demoness comes to kill him with poison, he still accepts her as a nurse, as a wet nurse. That he accepts the bhakti, even that there was an ill intent. This captivates Sukadeva Goswami. There's some other verses as well. No, the disciples of Vyasadeva go to the forest and speak that, and it pulls the son back. He hears those verses about Krishna, and it pulls his attention to follow them. And they bring him back to the guru, to the father, the disciples. And then he tells the disciples to train them. To train him in Bhagavatam, what they've been studying with Vyasadeva. And so then Vyasadeva is very happy. He's got his son back. He's in the Gurukul. He's with the boys. He's in the ashram. Yeah. Beautiful verses there. The son, putra, to free, to deliver the father. So yeah, there's also a section, I think it's in the ninth canto. There's a verse there, I have it in my phone, where it's describing, it's a very intense verse. It describes how if one is not going to behave like the son, then the son, putra also means like the seminal line of the father. And if one is not going to fall in line, follow through, then he becomes like the mutra or the urine. And it's also described as stool, like the waste product of the body. That has no substance or meaning. I remember when I was living in Vrindavan in an ashram, there was one sadhu who gave me that verse and said, "You have to, you know, fall in line and be the putra, not the mutra." He described it a little bit more graphically. But yeah, so that, I think that's in the ninth canto. I'll find the sloka verse in a minute. But obeying the supreme order of the Supreme Father. We see that also with Bali Maharaj, example of that, and Prahlad Maharaj also. That's the picture over there for the new guests. Welcome to the morning program. We see Lord Vishnu appearing as a lion avatar, killing a demon who was the father of Bali, the father of Prahlad Maharaj. And he was a bit of a child abuser, so that's why he got killed so graphically, as you can see. But Prahlad Maharaj, even though he appeared in a demoniac family, he obeyed and followed through with the order of the Lord Vishnu, even though his father was demoniac. And he, in that way, he freed the entire family lineage of demons from any, you can say, we also have our family lineages. And as us being devotees, we free them from all their previous sinful reactions. We can deliver the putra. I think the word later becomes, from tra comes triate, or to deliver, to free. to free the father and the whole family lineage from taking birth again. So we have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people out there suffering in the material world, a lot of sons who have gone astray from their father. And we're so fortunate to have Bhaktivedanta Manor here, so much wealth and opulence, so many nice devotees, so many books as well to distribute. Marathon's coming soon after Kartik. And by sharing this knowledge and helping others to come closer to Krishna, we're also doing the same. We recently went on a tour with Adiguru Prabhu, a bit of an intense tour, visiting Namahattas and devotees and lots of Harinam. Folkestone, Hastings, Weston-super-Mare, AA Recovery Group. That was a first for me. Kirtan to AA Recovery Group. And then Bath, Harinam in Bath and Namahatta program. And then Glastonbury Rath Yatra. So there's so many devotees in this yatra. So many initiated devotees. I understand people have to pay their mortgages and go to work and take their children to school, etc. But we have this transcendental knowledge. And we want to help free the world from the clutches of this illusion, this Maya. This Maya Shakti is becoming more and more insane. Just look at what's happening in the world. It's complete, absolute, total madness. And here we have the absolute truth and the knowledge to help people. And so we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of people to free from this cycle of samsara. And we can only do that ourselves by getting out there, doing the Yuga Dharma, spreading the holy name, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and sharing our realizations. And I'm going to ask for some discussion at this point. If there's any realizations to share, if there's any comments, and then some questions. And what time do we finish also? I don't know what... Half eight, yeah. Okay.
Hare Krishna there, Prabhu. Thank you for a brilliant class. There's a nice pastime. How did Panchajanya, the conch shell of the Lord, become a demon in the ocean?
I think he was the demon first.
No, I'm telling...
Okay.
So when the Lord is blowing the conch shell in Vaikuntha, he became proud and... Krishna's always touching me with his lips. So Lakshmi Devi saw that pride and she cursed him to become go to the material world as a demon.
Thank you. That reminded me again on that point of pride, a son of Brahma. The son of Brahma, he mentally disrespects his father. Bhrigu Muni disrespects his father, Brahma. But Brahma tolerates. Huh? There's some reaction. And then Lord Shiva goes to throw his trident and say, kill him, his own brother, for his disrespectful behavior. But then Lord Vishnu tolerates and accepts that kick on the chest as, oh, did I hurt your foot? But Lakshmi took note of that. Just you mentioned Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi took note of that and said the whole lineage of Bhrigus, or the Brahminical line, they'll have no Lakshmi in their lives. She took offense though, yeah. Prabhu.
You mentioned the pain of a dad whose son dies. The son deviates from the proper path and then meets misfortune. So I remembered a godbrother of mine who lost his son about 10 years ago. He was posting that his son had died on Facebook. He posted this. And of course, he was really aggrieved. And nobody in the comments section asked him, you know, how did he die? But in a message, a private message to him, I asked him, what happened, you know? And you know what happened? The son, although he was in a devotee family, he got entangled with friends who were taking drugs, and he became involved with drugs himself and actually died from an overdose.
Hare Krishna. Fentanyl or something like that?
No, I don't think it was fentanyl, no.
Yeah, very painful. So Krishna's feeling the pain of all of us, all the conditioned souls in the material world, that we have become separated from him, intoxicated by this Maya energy, this Maya Shakti. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the class. I would like to ask a question which is relevant for myself.
Mm-hmm.
We are sons, but we are not fathers, speaking as brahmacharis. And those which are above us as our authority, management, structure, Srila Prabhupada instigated this whole structure of rendering service and abiding to the instructions of our service authorities. We are to follow, and we are also to be followed. So what are the qualifications or character that we have to sort of imbibe to be both? To have faith in our authorities that this is for our purification and in our best interest, the activity that we got instructed, and how we should carry ourselves if we give instructions to others to abide and follow. What should be our meditations on both angles?
How to spread Krishna consciousness. Yeah, that's the position of the authority. To Krishna's unlimited. So how can we unlimitedly keep on expanding the Sankirtan Yajna, Sankirtan movement? Everything else is just details. If that's not the central focal point, the Sankirtan Yajna, I don't know what it is then. In all honesty. So you have to also encourage all the men who are with you in the ashram to go out, distribute books, Harinam Sankirtan, spread. And by doing that, then you also become enlivened to keep that going. And that hopefully will also enliven the people above you and the authorities to see that. Does that help? If you want to stay in Krishna consciousness, you got to do the Yuga Dharma. You have to be in that fire. That includes book distribution. That includes so many of the projects. But if the Yuga Dharma doesn't have a place in any of it, what's it all for then? How are you going to stay enlivened? Yes, we can go through the motions. We can do bhakti yoga as much as we can engage with this yoga linking process of bhakti. But if it's not the Yuga Dharma, if it's not Srimad Bhagavatam and extending and expanding that, it's questionable then. Some question can be there. You know, we humbly question, we don't attack. We humbly, in a similar way, the sons of Brahma, they were laughing. They could have respectfully, you know, asked their father, what's going on here? This is not so correct. So we respectfully, constructively criticize, not attack mode. Yeah? Okay. Someone else? Govinda Prabhu.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. I noticed something and because I'm different, I don't understand it. I know it's very prominent for devotees who come in from, say, Asian backgrounds. It's very important for them, a lot of them, that they actually follow their father.
Yes. And
because I'm not from that, I just cannot get my head around it. And it's like, it's not just a duty, it's like a feeling they have inside them. And I'm just wondering where it comes from. Is it just, are they brought up that way? Is it just something they imbibe as a child?
The son is supposed to reflect the nature of the mother. So in some psychological way, there is a connection there with the father and the son. The father's heart softens with the son in some ways because he sees qualities of the mother, his wife, in the son. Yes, Asian sons and children are very obedient. It gets extreme when you go to Korea and other parts of Asia. They're really, very, very disciplined. But Indian sons, they just know. It's kind of in their genes that they're supposed to just fall in line. And if they do, they get everything. They get everything taken care of. That's on the material level. I was once in a very rich man's house when I used to be a monk in Saffron. I was invited, I think, by your Guru Maharaj or someone to play mridanga for a kirtan. And the host engaged with me quite a bit. And he asked me to take his son to India and put him in an ashram because he was a millionaire's son. He had everything. He had no comprehension of what it meant to struggle or to, just be a normal person like the rest of us. And I said, okay, here's my address, send him. And he called the son down and the son was kind of like, okay, father, he just agreed, but he never showed up. Huh? So the sons, even they may agree with the father, yes, 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 but the reality can also be different. And still the father, this is the example of Dhritarashtra, yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata. Dhritarashtra has got this, what is the word in Sanskrit? His vision of his sons is clouded by this, there's a Sanskrit word for it, I can't remember right now, but he will not see that his sons are doing wrong. The sons can break the law, they can, many rich people's sons do this, speed down the motorway 200 miles an hour, all kinds of things. They don't care. And the father also will cover up for the sons. So Dhritarashtra has the same disease. His sons have usurped the kingdom from the Pandavas unlawfully. And no matter how much Vidura, whoever speaks to him, he just is completely clouded by this misplaced parental love for his sons. Yeah? Everyone tries to convince him, but there has to be a war eventually.
Yeah, he's saying he's always amazed at how the Indian children, they look after their parents. When I have a lot of experience in India, people I've known for 30 years, when their parents got invalid and old, they totally gave up everything in their life to serve their parents for the last 5 years or whatever, look after them. And it's very beautiful reciprocation because they were brought up as children and they owe everything to their parents. And it's an amazing thing. And us in the West, we don't have that. But I think also in India, they don't have the welfare system if you don't look after them, there's nothing that you can't just get an NHS nurse to come and the government pay for it. You didn't get a free care home in India. That's it. You are completely at the mercy of your children.
And there are a few care homes available. Yes, I understand.
They have charities. They have orphanages and elderly people, but they do charity very well. But generally, if the children are there, they have to look after the parents. There is no
return. I had a friend from Mumbai, he's kind of middle class, rich family, and he was taking care of his father also to the point where before his father, up to the point of his father's death. And I asked him, about a similar thing. And he said that this is our gratitude to our parents for putting us in a human body. That we have attained he was a devotee, of course, initiated devotee. We have a human body. And that is the way we reciprocate our gratitude to our parents by taking care of them. Yes.
Just one point. In the Veda, the guru, the father is the first guru.
Karma Karuna Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class.
class. Just going back on to Antranga's question. Antranga was asking, how do we develop that trust?
Okay, trust.
You know, we're speaking about father and authority and like that. And how also we can be also trustworthy. And you responded by saying Sankirtan Yagya. So just if you can maybe elaborate on that.
Okay.
If someone doesn't do Sankirtan, they're not trustworthy. I'm just kind of, yeah.
It sounds like an Istaghosti question.
If someone is engaged in bhakti.
I'm happy to come to a Brahmacharya Istaghosti if you want.
If,
I can.
Someone is worshipping the deity.
Okay, so everything is supposed to be an expansion of the Sankirtan Yagya. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nandan is very attractive. Very, very attractive. And what attracts me to this temple to come every summer and engage with the preaching programs in Harinam is because Srila Prabhupada brought the Harinam Sankirtan party onto the altar and circumambulated Radha Gokula Nandan with the Harinam Sankirtan. There is no other temple that I know of. Maybe I'm wrong. Is there any other temple where Srila Prabhupada installed Radha Gokula Nandan like this? In any other, would the Yuga Dharma? The devotees go into the altar room. And then you see in the video, he motions like this with his hand. Get everybody off the altar now. Back to the Vedic rules. So the Vedic bhakti is there to support us moving towards the Raganuga, which can move. We're the Hare Krishna movement, that which moves the heart closer to Krishna. You can have all kind of business executives trying to put all kinds of strategies down. It doesn't really do much unless there is the heart. And the heart is Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's Sankirtan movement and book distribution. So to develop that love and trust can take some time. But for me, I find my love and trust where I find those devotees who are doing those things. That's my personal place on it. Yes, Govinda Prabhu. And maybe if there's a Mataji, want to say something.
Here's an observation. If you look in this room, there's a handful of devotees who've been in the movement for a very long time. And all of them actually still go out on Harinam Sankirtan. They actually value it. I've just noticed that, and I'm thinking, but we've had so many other devotees doing other services, but they're not here right now. So in a sense, I think people who do the Harinam Sankirtan, I think they do tend to last the distance.
Thank you. Anyone else? It's almost 8:30. Got 2 minutes left. No.
One of the things of the movement is... And the guru should have probably, he was always pushing the devotees to go out of the comfort zone. And Rishabhadev says that without the penance, you can't make progress if you try to be comfortable. So the important thing is to perform penance and austerity. Prabhupada said the real austerity is to spread the Sankirtan mission, yeah.
Especially in the West. All right, so we'll close the class. Thank you very much for your kind attendance. And Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nandan ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya.